everybody out in Hillbilly Horror Stories land. First, I wanted to thank Jerry for letting me share this story. On Saturday, which was March the 4th, I reached out to Jerry, and all I said was, "Hey, Jerry, if you're able and so inclined, I need your help. I made a promise to a dead man, and I think you can help me keep that promise. Let me know if you're interested, and I will send you more." Luckily, he got back with me, and I shared with him the story. It was actually a submission I wrote for a different podcast, but that podcast doesn't accept listener submissions, so I didn't know how to get this to them, but I really needed it to get to one of the hosts. Her name is Farida Lamucci. She's also known as the Mouth of Satan, and she and her brother, Selim, they formed a band back in 2006 in Amsterdam called The Devil's Blood. It was an occult black metal band. They no longer are together. And this is how my life entwines with hers, and she has no idea who I am. So, without further ado, let me go ahead and read this for you guys. And excuse me, my voice is really weak today. I'm kind of under the weather, but I'll try my best. I'm sitting in my stepson's bedroom, staring out the window, watching the snow, and taking a break from painting his room. I'm crying just learning Farida has a podcast about death, even though I can't understand the language. I need to start by saying, I want nothing from you. I'm seeking nothing, but I sit here crying knowing what I know and experiencing what I experienced. You do not know me, but I'm entwined in your story. Also, this isn't some demented joke. This is not an attempt at anything other than keeping a promise I made to a dead man. I know you may think I'm crazy after reading this, but I'm still compelled to share because this promise weighs heavy on me. Side note, breaking away from the story, when I reached out to Jerry, it was actually on the anniversary of the dead man's death, and I had no idea. And I really, really felt compelled to share this that day. So back to the story. If you happen to share this on your podcast, I don't want my name mentioned. And that still applies to Jerry's podcast, by the way. I'm not seeking attention, but this is your story as much as it is mine. And you can freely share it with whom it will help. I'm going to try to give you the condensed version. Oh my God, I failed at that. This is so long. If you want more details, I will answer any questions to the best of my memory. After contracting COVID for the second time in September of 2021, I decided to smoke white sage. Honestly, I was afraid of COVID as the first time it had nearly taken me out. I know white sage has spiritual properties and actual medicinal uses. Upon smoking it, I said something like, "This is to rid my lungs of anything bad." I was meaning germs, but as the best as I can figure, I accidentally cast a type of spell because I put my intentions behind the act of smoking, which was like a ritual. Soon, I coughed so deeply, I felt something dislodge from my lungs. My husband even made a comment about how weird this cough was. I thought nothing of it until I started to see what I coughed out. It was a dark entity, a parasite. This thing tried to torment me nightly and started to affect my family and even some of my friends. Without getting too much into it, and I will get into this if you like, because it's an ordeal in itself. If anybody wants me to share that, I will. But anyway, without getting too much into it, as it affected other people I knew, demons are multifocal, meaning they can be in many locations at once, as I learned. I desperately scoured the internet looking for a way to exorcise this thing from my home. I found that herbs and plants local to me could help, like juniper and ragweed. I also read that bay leaves could help. So I set to remove this thing from my home one night when my family was out. I meditated with some herbs and crystals within reach. Soon I was guided by a gentle feminine presence. She told me to light a bay leaf with fire and let it smolder like incense. I felt her hand guide my own hand with a smoldering leaf to my nose. She then said, "Sniff." I did as she said and inhaled deeply several times. When the leaf went out, I meditated more, but things shifted. I was no longer on my bed. I was in another place, and the woman who guided me stepped out from the left and walked over to me. She was beautiful, with long, curly, wild hair. She felt motherly. I knew at once she was an ancestor, my ancestor. She draped her arms around me, and I could feel her intentions to pray. So we prayed. I have to add, I'm not religious. I was not Christian then, and I'm not Christian now. However, I prayed to the Archangel Michael because I learned while taking a deep dive on the internet that he kills demons with a blue flame sword. I also learned we, humans, command angels. If it isn't against God's will, they have to obey our will. So I commanded him to kill the demon if he was so allowed, or to banish it if he was not allowed, but I added I wanted the parasite dead. Again, I stress I'm not Christian, but to my utter disbelief, the archangel swooped in from the right. He reminded me of depictions I'd seen of Coco Pelli, only he had a sword wielded above his head instead of the characteristic flute. It dawned on me briefly that Coco Pelli may have been whatever Michael was. Michael showed himself to me in multiples. He looked like a string of paper dolls. Knowledge flooded through me. Angels and demons are the same. Whatever one can do, so can the other. I already knew the demon could be in multiple places at once. Well, so could Michael. Michael showed me he is an army. I continued to pray with my ancestor, but as Michael enthusiastically left for his pending battle, our prayers shifted. We prayed to Jesus. I never thought I'd even pray to Jesus, much less meet him. I mean, I didn't really believe in him until this event. Jesus had no body. He had no face. He presented himself as golden light. I knew it was him, as he felt just like heaven. Sorry. I know this message is already really, really long. And I said, this is the condensed version. Sorry, this is making me really emotional. Sorry, if I was telling you everything, I would have already mentioned that I died in 2004. I was revived, but I had a near-death experience. I went to what some call a heaven. It feels like the greatest love possible, and this golden light in my presence now felt exactly the same. My ancestor and I continued to pray, as I started to feel myself lifted up. The golden light was embracing me. It felt like home. After a while, Jesus vanished and I was back on the ground with my ancestor, but still in this in-between place. I knew when Jesus left, the demon was gone. I praised the Lord and thanked him, Michael, and my ancestor. I slowly opened my eyes, but soon realized I was shaking and crying uncontrollably. When I gained enough composure, I exited my bedroom and walked around my house. It was lighter and felt healed. I walked outside, wondering if I was crazy because did I just fucking meet Jesus? I looked up at the night sky, and right overhead is a cloud that looks like a man with wings. I have the pictures, by the way, if anybody wants to see them. Michael signed the sky for me. Then I looked at the moon. It was full with a ring around it. I don't know why, but seeing these things made me know this was real. And I added there, just what I added earlier, if you so like, I have pictures I can share. I checked in with one of my friends that was also infected by the same demon. She confirmed it was gone for her as well. This thing, as best we figured, was infecting us both for nearly 30 years. It affected us in different ways. It fed off my energy mostly quietly. For her, it gave her dreams of incest, suicidal thoughts, and debilitating depression. After I coughed it out of me, and it no longer had free food, it started to also give me incest and rape dreams. Later, I learned it to this to my family as well. And depression. I don't know how she survived it that long. It tormented me and my family only for a couple of weeks. I don't know how she endured this torture for 30 years. Since then, September 2021, her life has turned around. She's no longer depressed or suicidal. And all the torture dreams, as she calls them, suddenly stopped that night. I'm not Wiccan, but I've had people call me a natural born witch. I guess I can live with that term, witch. I know I had abilities from a young age. I sense some of those abilities in Farida. I know they lessened when I became a late teenager, and now I knew why. That's when I became infected and I realized how it happened. When I was in college, vampires were gaining popularity in pop culture. They fascinated me. So somehow that worked its way into my sex life with my then boyfriend. We would do blood play, and I tasted his blood on more than one occasion. So yes, I got an STD, a sexually transmitted demon. Ever since being parasite free, I realized many things I've done in the past 30 years were due to the demon. Many things I used to like, I no longer like and found disgusting, like my former sexual tastes and habits, or disturbing,
as I used to love blood and gore, but I can't handle it now. So much of what I thought was not me at all. And if these things can act like sexually transmitted illnesses, how many did I infect? How many did they infect? The thoughts are staggering, but at least that one fucker is gone and everyone it infected is now free of it, like my friend. My best friend, who's a different friend, we affectionately call the other my evil twin, or twin for short. She and I weren't on the best terms. We hadn't had a falling out this time. We simply drifted a bit apart. Twin's mom had always nudged us back towards each other when she was alive. Why would she let death stop her from that? Twin's mom and I had our own special bond. She knew I was different. We never spoke about it, but she knew I was special. When she died a little over 10 years ago, Twin and I were on one of our hiatuses. Twin's mom came to me telepathically, as best I can describe it, and told me she was gone. I could still see her face. I could still see it. When I said she knew I was special, I didn't mean it in a boastful way. I mean she knew I was like her. Even though Twin and I hadn't talked in a bit, I told my boyfriend her mom died and Twin would contact me soon. Sure enough, Twin found me online and told me she had something to tell me. I immediately shared my condolences with her before she told me her mom died. Don't worry, my friends are used to me being freaky and creepy, so it didn't offend her. Twin's mom is powerful, even now. Several months before my self-exorcism, Twin's mom came to me. She told me Twin was in danger and needed my help. She told me I had to save her. She begged and pleaded. I knew I had abilities, but I had no idea how powerful I was when Twin's mom asked me for help, and I didn't know why she was asking for help. I reached out to Twin, which she told me I couldn't believe. Twin has always had a struggle with religion. Some people in her family are the hellfire and brimstone type Christians. Twin is married to a woman. So to them, she's an evil lesbian and going to hell, you know. Twin had, to my knowledge, always believed in God, just not her family's notion of God. So when Twin tells me she renounced God, the news was hard to swallow. Renounce God? What does that mean, Twin, to renounce God? Just for the record, I knew what those words meant. I wanted to know what it meant to her in her life. She continued to tell me that she has committed herself to a new religion. She told me she was now an anti-cosmic Satanist. I didn't know what that was and still really don't fully understand. She went into great detail about returning to nothingness. She said she was weary of being enslaved and she wanted freedom from enslavement. To her, being alive was enslavement from God. To her, God was evil. She spoke of ascension, but I knew ascension was her new word for suicide. She spoke eloquently about things so foreign to me. She spoke of Lilith and other demons. She spoke of rituals. She told me of all these things and added it was okay because there was actually no Satan in her religion. I didn't tell her my views. I merely listened to her. She's my twin. I love her regardless. My views? I don't like religion. My religion is the golden rule.
But every Satanist I've met says the same thing. There is no Satan, or they don't believe in Satan. Every Satanist I've met has also had stories of encounters with evil or demons. So my view is, who the fuck cares if Satan is or isn't in it? Evil shit still is. Evil shit can still kill your ass, or worse, torture you for eternity. Even though Twin's dead mom had asked, after learning about my twin's new religion, I chose not to help. I convinced myself I didn't know how. I convinced myself this is of Twin's free will. I convinced myself to do nothing. I kept, however, trying to keep the lines of communication open with Twin. I decided I would be there for her and accept her and listen without judgment. I would ask her questions about her beliefs, like, how the hell did you get into this anyway? I surely thought someone recruited her. She tells me about this band she's been listening to, something about blood and devils. She tells me she's been listening to them for a while and goes on and on about the guitarist and his sister, the singer. Oh yeah, that guy you keep posting pictures of on Facebook? She tells me his name is Selim Lamucci and his sister is Farida. She tells me how the band, The Devil's Blood, has led her to this religion. She shows me pictures of Selim with strange symbols and tells me these are sigils and that she's learned how to use these sigils just as Selim did. Every time I spoke to her, it broke my heart, but I couldn't do anything about it. This was her choice. I can't help her, I'd tell myself. I kept telling myself that right up until I did my self-exorcism. After that moment, I knew I could help. I still felt the need to not help because Twin told me she wanted this. Twin would go into detail about Selim ascending. Again, that word. An attempt to diminish suicide. It's still suicide. Oh boy, I was so wrong. It's far from suicide. Apart from her current trending vocabulary, Twin's voice suddenly changed. She no longer sounded like herself. Her cadence was quite different, and her tone was now quite masculine. It was unrecognizable as her own. I told my husband I was now 100% sure Twin was infected. I still had a weird hang-up about helping. I needed her permission to help. She had to need to want help, I thought. So somehow, after many conversations about anti-cosmic Satanism and Selim Lamucci, the conversations turned to demonic possession. Much to my surprise, Twin freely spoke of doing rituals she claimed Selim did in order to conjure a certain demon. She said Selim had his views, but somewhere along the way, Farida's views differed from those of Selim. I asked Twin why she would need to conjure a demon. She then confides it was more of an invocation. She invoked this demon. My head spun in thought. She invited this demon. How the heck do you get rid of an invited demon? Over the course of a few weeks, whenever we spoke, Twin spoke of anti-cosmic Satanism, Selim, who was a prophet to her, and this demon. I would ask her every time we talked if she needed help getting the demon out. Every time she would tell me no. That this is what she wanted and this is what she deserved after having a traumatic childhood and her soul's enslavement, and this was her way to Ein, and she craved nothingness. Then the unexpected happened. This time, her voice was hers again, shaky, but hers. Twin, I think I have fucked up, she said. She was horribly scared. She goes on to tell me that she invited this demon in. She spoke like she had no knowledge of telling me this in other words before. This was finally her in control for a moment. Between the time of freeing myself and this moment, I developed new abilities rapidly, and existing abilities got more powerful. I believe the fucker feeding on me dampened my abilities. Energy siphon gone, my energy went to my abilities instead. I learned I could travel to what I called the in-between, the same place I was when I met my ancestor, the Archangel Michael, and Jesus. Others call it other things, behind the veil, fourth dimension, you know, what have you. I falsely believe, thanks Hollywood, that at the time I needed the invited demon's name in order to remove it from Twin. For some reason, even though Twin invoked it, she was never able to tell me its name. I didn't immediately try to remove it because I was trying to figure out a way to get its name. What prompted the removal was Twin's mom. She came to me one night and quite forcefully expressed, it was go time. I quickly traveled to Twin in the in-between. Oh, and I have to explain a bit. Twin wasn't there in the in-between, but everyone here is paralleled to there. So you can get next to people. So traveling to someone is pretty instantaneous. Also, there are people like me who travel there and fight demons. Some do it while they sleep and aren't even fully aware of what they do. I've met several people who have this skill, and when I first heard about it, I didn't believe yet. I asked one of those people how she gets her weapons to fight these demons. I can't explain it. You just want it and it's yours. You just hold your hand and want it. You want a sword, you've got a sword, she tells me. I called Michael and Jesus to come with me. Michael came, but Jesus did not. Instead, Twin's mom came with yet again someone I didn't believe in. But how fitting for a mother to bring a mother. I was in the presence of the Virgin Mary. Much like Jesus, she showed no body. She presented as a white light. She felt like motherly love. I could see the demon hiding in Twin's abdomen. I made a mental note to ask her later if she's been having stomach issues. My demon was in my lungs, and I had lung issues. She would later confirm this. So sometimes demons hide in your empty spaces. Twin's mom told me to get the demon out. How the heck do I get it out? She told me to get it out, then they could kill it. Of all the things for me to imagine, I get a tape dispenser with tape that has the name Jesus on it. As absurd as it sounds, that was the first thing I could think of without harming Twin. Not all demons respond to Jesus or Christ, as I learned. I was pretty sure this one was one that would. I threw pieces of Jesus tape at it in order to encase it. Demons can shrink and expand. It was shrunken very small when it was in her. I wanted it to stay that way. I then tugged the demon out of Twin. That's when Michael attacked and Mary elevated us like Jesus did before with me. When the battle was over, it was pretty chaotic. As the dust settled, so to speak, I unexpectedly see a man with curly dark hair and a beard. I recognized him as the guitarist that Twin talks about. I've seen his picture on her Facebook. It was none other than Selim Lamucci. My evil twin was right. It was the demon that Selim contacted. Not knowing what to do, and what is one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made, I merely said to him, "Go find your sister." I had mistakenly assumed he would know how to travel in the in-between. Then I vanished. Over the next few months, I prayed he found her. But something always felt wrong. Several months later, Twin started saying things out of character again. I can see in my mind's eye that Selim is with her, is with Twin, and that he's dangerously close. He hasn't figured out how to go to other people, but he has figured out how to influence her. Strings are forming between the two. It's clear to me that he's almost accidentally fully possessing her. I see it's not his intention. He just wants help. I can see glimpses of him urging her to message Farida online and reach out to several band members. Before Twin can tell me anything, I tell her all I saw, and she laughs. She said she didn't think he was possessing her, but she has had urges to reach out to them online. And she confirms that she has already started to try to tell one what happened to Selim. She says she's compelled and doesn't know why. She said she needs them to know he was deceived. I tell Twin there is another way. I tell her I will force remove Selim from her if I have to, but he can't continue to try to influence her. She was adamant to not force remove him and to not remove him at all. After a lot of debate, she agreed for me to talk to him. So I go to the in-between to talk to Selim. I didn't know what I was in for, but neither did he. He was pretty shocked to see me. I explained to him who I am to Twin and what he is doing is wrong. I explained he is going to become one with Twin, as in possession, and he must stop influencing her before it happens. He told me he didn't mean to, but it was important to reach out to his people. He didn't know where he was, but figured out slowly he was dead. He asked me when he died and how he died. I remember Twin told me 2014, but I didn't know the month. And I knew he died from suicide, or what Twin had called ascension. I had this conversation with Selim on September 13th, 2022. He goes on to tell me he didn't kill himself. He doesn't even remember his death. He said the last thing he remembered was being in his bedroom. He shows me what the room looked like. I saw a lot of the color red and many books. It looked like a library and not a bedroom. He was just standing there, then the next thing he knows, he was in the place after the battle, looking at me, telling him to go find his sister. He said the last year he knew was 2012. He died in 2014. I felt even worse about leaving him after the battle. He knew absolutely nothing of what happened. I'm glad he wasn't or doesn't remember the demon torturing him. He didn't even know the last 2 years of his life. I wish I had Twin with me because she is a fan. I'm not. I don't know what he did in the last 2 years of his life, but she likely would. People think souls are eternal, and that's both correct and incorrect. We live on after death. We seemingly live forever. Some get devoured. Some actually fragment. Salem was being devoured, and I'm so glad he doesn't remember it. I told him as much as I could about Twin and how she somehow learned to invoke a demon, the demon he had. I told him what I'd learned about demons and angels and the gods I've met. I totally forgot to tell you about me telling Twin the bay leaf trick my ancestor used with me to get to the in-between. She met Garuda and Kali. Later, I met Shiva, Kali, and Ganesh. I told him to forget religion. Many gods and goddesses are real, and they all represent one side or the other. I told him about the Akashic records and how he can have access to them now that he is dead. I mentioned that because he seemed interested in the truth above everything else. Somewhere during this conversation, I realized I could see his portal. This would be his portal to what some call heaven. Getting to heaven is pretty easy. You simply have to know you belong there. If you don't know you belong there, that portal won't open. Once you know you belong there, it lights up like a Christmas tree. He asked what heaven was like. I explained I died in 2004. I told him I think heaven is different for everyone, but when I went, it was weird because there was no sun, so there were no shadows. The light on people's face was from within. Everything had light from within. Heaven is pretty organized. You take classes when you get there. They last about 2 weeks or longer, depending. After that, you can visit loved ones with some stipulations. There are lots of rules, but they accommodate anyone. For instance, one dead guy I met had classroom anxiety and didn't want to sit through the classes. They allowed him to be extra protection for a friend of his. He would, instead of going to classes for several weeks, shadow his friend until his friend dies. I told him I was told about contracts, how we can have contracts with God or even with other people. While we talked, I would point to the portal. At one point, he asked me why we would want to help him. I told him I work for them, pointing to the portal, and I have a contract with God to help people. I told him humans were being attacked here. There is a war ongoing. It's time for people to really wake up and kill these fuckers. He questioned me a lot, inquisitive one. When I thought he was dubious of me, I later realized he was calculating everything in his head. He kept a pretty big poker face. I didn't know if his portal would open, but I got a few laughs out of him. Darth Vader chose the light in the end. He laughed a genuine but short laugh. I made a promise to him. I promised him that Twin and I would successfully tell you, that would be Farida, what happened to him and why you would have never felt him prior to September 13th, 2022. He also requested to see you, so I took him with me to see you. You were laying down on your side. You may have been sleeping, but when we got there, I felt you were conscious and could feel him. You looked aware. I tried to speak to you and tell you he was all right now. We stayed with you only for several minutes. I really feel like you maybe even saw us. I thought it would take a few weeks to cross them over. It took maybe an hour or two. Salim seemed to be the person ruled by his head. Truth and knowledge were desired. He now understood he was tricked. He doesn't want anyone else deceived. I was mid-sentence explaining some other things I had learned along the way when he decided he belonged in heaven. His portal lit up so brightly and a female walked out. I immediately started crying when he realized his mom was greeting him. I didn't understand why he was confused to see her. I had previously told him when the portal lights up and opens, loved ones come to greet you. As he walked with her to his portal, I hollered out, "Wait." I ran over to him and hugged him and kissed his cheek. "Why did you do that? You'll be different the next time I see you." He smiled a soft grin and continued to see what was on the other side of his portal. After he left, I felt great sadness. I felt like my good friend just died. I didn't know Salim. I don't listen to his music, but he is so much like Twin. I grieved for him. When I returned from the in-between, I sent Twin a message. He crossed over just now. Later, she told me why he was confused seeing his mom. She died after he did. A couple or more weeks ago, sorry it's taken me a while to build up the nerves to write this, I felt him finally return. He reminded me of the promise. I totally forgot about the promise I made, but he made it perfectly clear he didn't care how Twin and I fulfilled it, only that we must fulfill it. So this is me trying to fulfill my promise. He's quite powerful now. He somehow made the tree branches in my backyard form the outline of his face. I've seen a lot, but I've never seen anything like that before. I realize I can't ask you to believe me, and I can't prove any of this. I do have online conversations with my twin and others I can share with you that support my claims. Salem wants you to know the truth. Salem is no longer being devoured in what he thought was Ein. He was murdered by a demon and never committed suicide. He is now learning things he wished to know when he lived. He doesn't remember anything of his death, and you or no one should ask why he did it, because he didn't do it. He also wants you to share this with his friends. Again, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach back to me. And thank you again, Jerry, for letting me read that. Sorry, I got very emotional. Hopefully, Salem can rest in peace. And Farida can learn what really happened to her brother.